From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Yes. I can only agree. It is a very exciting day, and not only because our guest is singer-songwriter Elvis Costello. Before we start, we want to give a shout-out to President Obama. He's had a tough week. People say that he hasn't done enough to help lower the unemployment rate, but this week he managed to help about 65 people get brand new jobs. So good for you, Mr. President. So quick, before somebody calls an election to fill our seats, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Allison from Philadelphia.
Hey, Allison, how are things in Philadelphia?
Good. I was actually at the taping last week.
You were. It was a lot of fun. That was a great time. I did not know how beautiful and great Philadelphia would be. Are you guys trying to keep that a secret so you don't get overwhelmed with tourists?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm not so sure.
You want to keep it more exclusive.
Well,
Welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Foodography on the Cooking Channel, Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Mo.
Yeah. Elvis Costello wrote a song about you.
I know.
Should I ask him if it's actually about you?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Next, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
And next, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Charlie.
Allison, welcome to the show. You're going to play a new game just for this week, and we're calling it...
What do you mean I can't say that?
If you watched the election returns, and then, you know, on TV, you heard the boring victory speeches and the boring concession speeches. I'm so proud. Thank you so much. Yada, yada, yada. Wake me up for the next cycle. Uh-huh. But the speeches weren't always that boring. We happened to get our hands on the first drafts of some of those speeches, and the candidates let their true feelings out. Carl will now read some of those first drafts. Your job, tell us who it was. Do that 2 times out of 3, you'll win our prize. Ready to play?
All right.
All right, here's your first draft. This one is a victory speech.
My fellow Americans, this is not the time to celebrate. This is the time to go freaking nuts. Your new speaker is surround sound, suckers.
So that was the election night inner monologue of whom?
Is that Bill Boehner?
Not Bill Boehner, it's John Boehner. We'll give it to you, though.
Ah, good. Okay, thanks.
You both got the name Boehner right.
Boehner.
And you pronounced it right. The next Speaker of the House cried during his victory speech on live TV Tuesday night. He's been known to do that before. So that's the first difference between Mr. Boehner and the outgoing Nancy Pelosi. His face works. Now, people sometimes... make fun of John Boehner's weird orangey skin, but come on, it is natural. It's all natural. He does this every autumn. Soon the spring will come and he'll be a verdant green again.
I think that we should all applaud a racial barrier being broken. He's our first burnt Siena House speaker.
That's pretty exciting.
What do we think about the tears? I mean, personally, I thought it was awesome. I'm going to start keeping track of every time he kind of chokes up and tears up.
He's a poor man, Sally Field. I was waiting.
You like me. You really like me.
Now, Mr. Boehner, for the last few years, has led the opposition to President Obama, sometimes in very strident terms, so it will be fun to watch them try to work together. He'll sit behind the president at the State of the Union address, for example. He'll be rolling his eyes and making air quotes whenever the president says things like progress or I am an American citizen. Allison, here is your next first draft of a speech.
I want to thank the people of Nevada and congratulations to Ms. Engel. Wait, what? I won? Seriously?
That was a senator who surprised everyone, probably including himself, by winning re-election. Who?
He's that boring.
Yeah.
An indication of why the election was so close.
Yeah. There you go.
Is it Reed?
It is Harry Reid.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah, Harry Reid. Right.
I know, Reed. I know. He could be standing in front of you and going, "Hi, I'm Harry Reid, Senator from Nevada," and he'd leave the room and you'd be like, "Was there someone here?"
Senator Ambien.
Anyway. Harry Reid, of course, has an undertaker's looks and a corpse's charm. And as the election season began, he was the most hated man in Nevada. He was blamed for everything from the high unemployment rate to the time the roulette wheel at Caesar's Palace landed on black 4 freaking times in a row. But he did a very smart thing. He found somebody to run against who was marginally more loathed than he is. He basically had 2 options to pick from, and only 2. He could run against Sharon Angle, a far-right state legislator, or he could run against a toner cartridge mailed from Yemen. And luckily for Reed, the toner cartridge decided to drop out to spend more time with its printer.
She's not so much a Sharon Angle as an obtuse angle.
She is. Very good, Mo.
And I don't think she's a cute angle.
How long have you been working on that?
I love geometry jokes.
You know,
she was too much of a right angle.
Yeah.
My favorite story from the Sharon Angle campaign, so she addresses an audience of Latino students, and they're upset because she's been doing these horribly racist anti-Latino ads. And they get angry at her, and she's like, "Well, you know, who's to know who's Latino? You all look Asian to me." She said this. And that's not the best part. The best part was, like, these students who had no idea who she was before they were marched into this room, one of them was heard by a member of the press to turn to her friend and say, "I hate that lady."
Well, no, and she's pretty radical. I mean, she took a very strong stand on securing our border with China. So
she did. So, Allison, here is your last rejected first draft. It's somebody who took a shellacking, as he put it, even though he wasn't on the ballot.
I gave you health care, a stimulus package, and an adorable hypoallergenic dog. What more do you people want?
That was somebody who was a little more contrite, a little, when he finally addressed the nation the day after the election. Who?
That would be Barack Obama.
It would be. He seemed, to many observers, tired during his press conference post-election. That's because John Boehner kept calling him all through the night and whispering, "This call is coming from inside the house." Obama referred to the election as you heard, a shellacking. But because he is always forward-thinking and reasonable, he pointed out that a nice coat of shellac will make the White House more energy efficient. And, of course, shiny. So how are they going to work together? It's hard to say. Maybe what they should do, this is a serious suggestion in case anybody's listening, bring in a couples counselor. They hate each other. They have to work together. So they'll learn communication skills, like making I statements. Like, "I feel you're vetoing a lot of our bills." The president will be like, "Okay, I hear that. I feel like you keep impeaching me." Carl, how did Allison do in our quiz?
Allison was great, Peter. 3 correct answers. Allison, you win our prize.
Peter,
well,
are you going to say it or am I? Her aim was
Her
true.
Her aim is true.
But my aim is true.
Allison, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, North Carolina Republican congressional candidate B.J. Lawson was delighted to announce to the world that he had gotten Morgan Freeman himself to voice a campaign ad for him and that the ad was really resonating with voters. Morgan Freeman, though, wasn't as happy about this. Why?
Because it wasn't his voice.
It wasn't really Morgan Freeman. Lawson's ad agency says they said, "We'll get you a Morgan Freeman voice double." But Lawson apparently stopped listening after Morgan Freeman. He kept telling people the voice in the ad was indeed the actor until he got complaints from a man who sounded like Morgan Freeman because he is Morgan Freeman. Whether or not the ad agency misled Lawson is still unknown, but there is something fishy about the ads. You can listen to one now.
There is a mysterious ritual that dates back thousands of years. No living creature has survived it, except
B.J. Lawson.
I'm B.J. Lawson. I approve this message.
So you're like, that doesn't sound right. Maybe if you didn't hear that, if you didn't hear it, maybe it's clear. It's clearer in this one.
In 1966,
B.J. Lawson
escaped from Shawshank Prison.
I'm B.J. Lawson. I approve this message.
So you could see how you'd think that was the real Morgan Freeman. Thank you, everybody. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Thank you. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm Steven. Fine. Steven, where are you calling from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Where do you live in Brooklyn? Brooklyn's a big old place.
Bensonhurst.
Really? Ah, I couldn't tell. Bensonhurst. What do you like to do? What's a great day in Brooklyn for you?
A great day in Brooklyn is just getting up, and I go to the city a lot.
Yeah.
Go to the village and hang out down there. And,
sure. So a great day in Brooklyn is leaving Brooklyn.
Right.
All right. Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what's Steve's topic?
2 chicken vaginas, please.
Traveling the world is one of life's great joys. All the different foods, languages, and historic sites. But innocence abroad can sometimes get into trouble. Our panelists are going to tell you 3 stories of people going overseas who probably wish they had stayed home. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Let's hear first from Charlie Pierce.
If you're planning to renew your wedding vows, do it in the back garden or in Vegas between hands of blackjack. Whatever you do, don't fall for those door-to-door salesmen inviting you to renew your vows in the Maldives. One couple recently found this out the hard way. Offered a chance at a traditional Maldivian ceremony, the happy couple found themselves heckled in the native Divhai tongue by the celebrant, who told them, among other things, that they were swine, and that all their children would be bastard swine, and suggested that perhaps the oblivious couple might find fuller gratification with certain barnyard fowl. Members of the audience can be heard urging the celebrant on. It all came out when some prankster put the whole business up on YouTube. The manager of the resort apologized and said the person had put up the video as a joke. A representative for the local chicken said they had no squawk.
Turns out the celebrant in the wedding vow renewal was just insulting them the whole time in his native language.
Okay.
That happened in the Maldives. Your next story of a cultural collision comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Travel blogger Timothy Cruces has boyish good looks and a big smile, so he's used to getting by despite only speaking English. But even he was surprised by the reception he received in a remote Chinese village last month. People stopping him for pictures, waving away his attempts to pay for anything, and following him as he videotaped the countryside, shouting, "Tofun, Tofun," which he thought was an affectionate nickname for Americans. As a travel writer, he's used to freebies and therefore was shocked as he tried to check out of the hotel to receive a bill for $13,000. Cruces was detained by local police when he refused to pay. 2 days and 1 U.S. embassy official later, he found out that the Chinese believed he was really Tom Cruise and that Tofun was actually their way of saying Top Gun. Anyway, the villagers were deeply offended that a rich American movie star would repay their hospitality by trying to take advantage of them. The bill was finally settled, and Cruces admitted he should have questioned the excessive generosity, but he's still baffled about the mistaken ID. "I look a little like Cruz," he admitted to Reuters, "but I'm a lot taller."
Okay. Travel writer gets mistaken for Tom Cruise and gets a Tom Cruise-sized bill. Your last story comes from Morocco.
Okay.
The Indonesian province of Irian Jaya received electricity only 30 years ago. Since then, the native Azmat people have been watching TV nonstop. When American Myrtle McHugh and her flame-haired best friend, Sally Tompkins, visited the otherwise primitive region, they learned everything about its culture, everything except the ginger prophecy. The Azmat people's belief that two best friends, one frumpy, the other a tireless and star-struck redhead, would come to the island and entertain them for eternity. Quote, at first when they made us stuff our faces with chocolates, I thought they were being hospitable, said Sally. Then when they made me walk down a long staircase with a giant headdress on, I became suspicious. When they made me stomp grapes for hours as they chanted Babaloo, I started to worry. After an exhausted Sally was given medicine laced with alcohol and forced to recite an Asmati tongue twister over and over, Myrtle contacted the U.S. Embassy. It's all pretty ridiculous, said Sally. I'm not even a natural redhead.
Let's review your choices. Let's review your choices. From Charlie, a couple goes to the Maldives to get their vows renewed and discovers that the whole time the person doing the ceremony was just mocking them horribly.
Okay.
From Roxanne, a travel writer goes to China, gets an incredible reception and an expensive one because they thought he was Tom Cruise. And from Moraka, an unsuspecting American couple goes to a remote island in Indonesia and is forced to reenact episodes of I Love Lucy. Which of these is the real story of a travel mishap?
I'm going to say the Tom Cruise $13,000 bill.
Really? You're going to go with the fact that the guy got a $13,000 bill because that's the kind
he
of bill
Tom Cruise?
You look
like Tom Cruise,
you
yeah.
Think that's your choice. All right. That's Roxanne's story. Well, we spoke to a reporter who covered this real story.
A Swiss couple who'd paid over $1,000 to renew their wedding vows in the Maldives thought they'd had a local blessing, only to discover afterwards that they'd actually been subjected to a torrent of abuse in the local language.
That was Johnny Hogg. He was a BBC reporter who covered the story. It was, in fact, I'm afraid, Charlie's story, which was, in fact, entirely true. Roxanne's story, though, was kind of enticing. I'm not surprised you were enticed by it, and you won a point for Roxanne.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for playing.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right,
nice to talk
care.
To you.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
And now the game where we invite somebody who's done great things on to do something pointless. It's called Not My Job. 35 years ago or thereabouts, a skinny kid with glasses gave himself the name Elvis Costello and started playing rock and roll in British pubs. Since then, he's put out dozens of amazing records, and he's made music with everyone from Paul McCartney to symphony orchestras to Burt Bacharach. We are delighted he has agreed to play with us. His new album is National Ransom. Elvis Costello, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. I will admit I was a little intimidated. I'm a huge fan of yours. It's exciting to talk to you. And then I saw that on the TV series you've been doing on cable TV called Spectacle, you've been hosting a talk show, inviting musicians you really admire onto the show and interviewing them.
That's correct.
So as you have done this, do you have any tips for me?
Always have your clipboard up the right way round. That's what I've found.
Really? So, You've been interviewed your entire career, sometimes not to your pleasure. When you finally had that role of interviewing the talent, did you have finally sympathy for poor schmoes like me who have to do it for a living?
I just tried to remember the very first time I was ever interviewed, and I was interviewed by a man who had apparently been sent by Central Casting from an old English movie wearing a stained Macintosh and a long plume of ash on a cigarette, who wanted to ask me, tell us about the girls, then. And I just assuming that there must be stories about the girls if I was in the business I was in.
But there are some stories about girls, aren't there?
Well, we can't get into them now because it's a family show.
Well, yeah. It's a shame because I had just written down my first question, which was, tell us about the girls, eh? You were, back when you started, you've heard this before, you know this, you had a reputation of being an angry young man.
No, I'm an angry old man.
Really? Because, have you not mellowed? It seems like you've mellowed a bit to me. Am I wrong?
No, I think that probably when I started out, a lot of that which was taken for anger was probably impatience and shyness, strangely enough. It seems like a crazy thing to say, but I did just want to get on with my job, and I was a bit impatient. Anger covers a lot of... it can be a useful thing if it's righteous indignation. If you're just mildly vexed, if you're going around the whole time and you're like being mildly vexed, I don't think that wouldn't be much of an act.
That'd be great to be the vexed middle-aged man of British pop.
Yeah, I used to be an angry young man. Now I'm just a mildly vexed
Can I ask a question? If you hadn't gone into music, what would you have been?
The first job I went for when I left school was as an Admiralty chart corrector.
An Admiralty chart corrector.
Hold on a second. My young son's just wandered in looking for his mother.
She's great, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
Hold on one second. It's like I Love Lucy, man.
It's very much like that, actually. Your wife, of course, is the extraordinarily talented musician Diana Krall. So, actually, you guys, like, oh, British rocker, Canadian jazz pianist, it's like a sitcom. You realize this, don't you?
Well, exactly. Believe me, it's much more like that than you imagine.
The chart corrector.
The chart. So you're an Admiralty chart corrector.
Yes, an Admiralty chart corrector. That's what I went for. And then they discovered that because of my unfortunate left-handedness, copying the tracings of the latest sandbanks and wrecks onto the charts that came in from the ships that came ashore in Liverpool probably have increased the amount of naval disasters.
Really?
Yeah. So I then got a job in a bank, and I was given the task of being the lookout during the delivery of the bullion.
Oh, my gosh.
I was given a whistle.
A whistle?
It was a very nice whistle, and they said, in the case of a robbery, blow this. And this is perfectly true. And I thought about it for a moment. I thought, in the case of a robbery, who do you think you would shoot first? Probably the guy with the whistle. And so I went into rock and roll.
I think it's a safer alternative and better for the finance system. I wanted to ask you, speaking of your son, you have two young children now. Is it harder to be a rock and roller and to write the kinds of songs you've been writing now that you're a sitcom-like dad with kids?
Well, no. I mean, I was actually a dad when I made My Aim Is True. My eldest son is 35, so I hope that they'll dig some of the things that we do. I know they love what their mum does because they're swinging chaps. Their taste in music run everything from You Are My Sunshine to Hey Bulldog. And I look forward to them discovering music, but it doesn't stop me any, except that they don't like me to sing because they say it's too sad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, just wait till they're about 15. It'll make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have plans to do, a kid's record? I mean, you like Allison... Your name is spelled A-L-I-S-O-N, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I have some very ready-made songs, I think, that would suit it. If I were to make a children's record, I think I would make a good, Halloween record or something like that. With my face and voice, it would probably be the only option.
I have to ask you about this. Years ago, I haven't quite forgotten it yet, we had Gene Simmons on the show. And Gene Simmons from Kiss, he quoted David Lee Roth. He said the reason that the critics liked Elvis Costello and not people like David Lee Roth and Gene Simmons is because the critics all look like Elvis Costello. He said this. And
if you've seen Gene recently...
Yes.
Need I say more?
Well done, sir. Elvis Costello, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Elvis... Haven't I heard that name before?
Since you probably get compared to the other Elvis all the time, we're going to ask you three questions about him right now. That's right, three questions about figure skater Elvis Stoiko. Bet you saw that coming. Get two right, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Elvis Costello playing for?
He is playing for Jan Schumann of Charleston, South Carolina.
You ready to do this?
Absolutely. I mean, I hope you realize that I grew up within spitting distance of the Richmond ice rink, specialist subject.
You really? So you know all about this. Here we go. Well, as you know then, Elvis Stoiko is the greatest living Canadian male figure skater, if you don't count Brian Orser or maybe Kurt Browning, too. It's a debate. Since retiring from competitive skating, Elvis has devoted himself to a number of pursuits, including which of these? A, making sure people refer correctly to the Canada Goose, not call it a Canadian Goose. B, making figure skating more butch, or C, creating his signature line of tailored jumpsuits.
Oh, I think it's got to be the first.
You think of making sure people do not call it Canadian Goose? That's incorrect. It's Canada Goose, damn it. Get it right.
Yes.
That would be a great thing for him to be doing, because it's a problem. But in fact, what he's been doing is he's been trying to make figure skating more butch. He has said that figure skating needs to attract more men to the sport, and to do that, it has to be more masculine and strong. That is his crusade.
Well, that's why they're enlisting me into the Olympic team next time out.
Absolutely. Next question, you still have two more chances. When it comes to making things more manly, Elvis is not limiting himself to skating. He's also planning to take over which of these fields and give it that Elvis touch? A, cell phone gaming, B, soft rock, or C, cheese making?
I thought you said he was trying to make figure skating more manly.
He is, but this is now he's doing something else.
None of those pursuits seem to be consistent with that objective. I imagine that there's an element to this sport that involves après-ski entertainments and nutrition.
True.
Which could mean fondue, so I've got to go for the cheese.
So if I'm not mistaken, you just made a logical bridge from figure skating to cheese.
I think after a hard day on the ice,
really?
It's cheese making.
And my sort of hemming and hawing, the knowledge that I'm a fan and want the best for you, doesn't indicate to you that maybe that's not the best choice.
I sense that I'm being guided by a high school.
Well, it's my chance to
could
collaborate.
It be soft rock?
It is! Elvis Stoiko released his debut album, 100 Lifetimes, which he described as hot adult contemporary. That's, quote, more edgy. Tracks include Fire Ice, Daddy Will Go First, and Drop the Gloves.
I think you find that actually when you buy that record, it says that the charge will not appear on your credit card statement.
Yes.
It's a free download.
Yes, it will not appear. All right, here we go. Last question. If you get this one right, you win it all. Last question. Elvis Stoiko, like a lot of athletes, has started an acting career. Which of these was one of his film roles? A, the skating stand-in for Robin Williams in Death to Smoochie. B, the romantic lead in a Canadian film, Winnipeg Nights. Or C, masked karate fighter in Lara Croft Tomb Raider 2.
I think it's got to be the Death to Smoochie.
Yes, indeed. Well done, sir. Robin Williams apparently cannot skate well enough himself. They had to bring in a professional. Carl, how did Elvis Costello do in our quiz?
He had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Jan Schumann.
There you are, sir. Well done. Elvis Costello's new album is National Ransom. I'm a huge fan. If you're not, there's something wrong with you. Elvis, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to talk to you at last. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't start the talking. I could talk all night. My mind was sleepwalking while I'm putting the world to right. Call careers information. Have you got yourself?
In just a minute, Carl tells us his favorite rhyme number. By the way, it's 3. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But first, panelists, it is time for you to answer some more questions from the week's news. Roxanne, President Obama ended his week by heading off to India. Now security personnel there, hoping to avoid any accidents, first removed the threat posed by what?
Oh, God. Tigers?
No.
Rogue elephants?
No.
Excessively hot curry?
No. It's a slightly more inanimate threat. I'll give you a hint. It's the sort of thing that happened to Gilligan all the time, so they didn't want to happen to President Obama.
Things he tripped on.
No. Things that might fall on him.
Things that might fall on him.
Oh, how fun.
Yes.
Yeah. You can also make a radio out of them if you're the professor.
Things that might fall on him. Coconuts!
Yes!
See?
Oh! We've gotten rid of the coconuts. In addition to their normal security protocols, Indian authorities are removing all coconuts from the palm trees around the locations that Mr. Obama plans to visit.
Some guy goes to Indian Secret Service Academy, and his job is to go out there and take all the coconuts.
Exactly. Sure, the odds of a coconut falling in Obama's head are low, but you probably wouldn't have predicted the Tea Party could do that much damage to him either.
Now, speaking of nuts falling out of trees.
Now, this coconut purge marks a new trend in security, removing every possible threat. Next stop is to remove all banana peels from sidewalks, eliminate all production of cream pies, and before Obama arrives, all anvils will be moved to the first floor. Roxanne, a lot of states are dealing with serious problems, unemployment. Well, Oklahoma took strong steps and ended an even bigger threat. On Tuesday, they banned what?
Oh, is this Happy Meals?
No.
No. Was that California? No, Matthew,
that's San Francisco.
That was San Francisco.
That's
okay.
About as far from Happy Meals as you can get.
I'm going to need a hint.
Well, they banned halal meals. Does that help?
Ooh. Oh, that's right. Sharia law.
Sharia law.
Yes. Very nice, Peter.
Yeah. You're very welcome. Quick note to Juan Williams, Oklahoma is now safe for you to visit. The Oki Caliphate has now ended. The good people of Oklahoma, in the midst of war and recession, were all lying there in their beds, unable to sleep, wondering, what if Muslim imams come here and impose Sharia, or Islamic religious law? But a new constitutional amendment prevents it, so enjoy your pork, Oklahomans. Continuing their new habit of stopping things that were never going to happen anyway, Oklahoma has sent a note to Heidi Klum saying they will not date her. And they told the Steinbrenner family, no matter how nicely they ask, they will never become the Oklahoma City Yankees.
Ayatollah.
Charlie, in the airline's continuing effort to improve the flying experience for travelers, Air New Zealand is offering a new type of seating. In addition to first class, business class, and coach class, they're now offering what?
What's a standing room?
No.
I mean, that was coming soon.
Almost the opposite.
Lying room? Like,
yeah,
in the aisle?
But not lying just by yourself.
Ooh, really? No kidding. Boy.
Well, no.
Do you have to return to your original upright position for landing?
Don't go that far.
What's between?
It's not even to first base.
Oh.
They put it that way.
Hand-holding?
Sort of. I'll give it to you. It's called cuddle class.
Aww.
Cuddle class is what they're calling it.
That is adorable.
It's so cute.
Come April, Air New Zealand will install special sky couch seats for long-haul flights, and they are really calling it cuddle class.
Ooh.
It's the Mile High Club for couples that no longer have sex. Now, there are sure to be some hiccups as they roll out the new service. If you think getting stuck with a middle seat sucks, wait till you're traveling alone and the only seat left is Little Spoon.
So, does cuddle class recline?
Yeah, you can lie down. That's the whole point.
So this is basically a bed for two people.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sort of lie there, yeah.
But what if you're in the middle section where there's three seats?
Well, presumably it would just be for two.
Oh, okay.
I think. I do. I think.
Yeah.
But right. it would change like the whole sort of culture of airplanes, you know, the kind of negotiations that go on about aisle seats and window seats. People are like, well, do you mind switching seats with me? Because your wife is really hot.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little clinging vine. Like to feel your cheeks so rosy, like to make you comfy, cozy.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show at the Paris in Las Vegas on November 18th. Don't miss your chance to see Carl in a feathered headdress. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. It's Aaron in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there?
I'm a gastroenterologist.
Oh. A gastroenterologist?
Yeah.
That's tremendously exciting.
Ooh.
I just wanted to be the first person ever to say that to you.
Yeah. I don't know if it's too much information, but I've had...
It is, it is.
This is what happened.
I just want to say, I've had, no, because you should at a certain age. I've had both an upper GI endoscopy, the one that they put the camera in through your mouth, and I've had a colonoscopy, and I used to think, what if you had them at the same time the cameras bumped into each other?
Both guys are, oh my God, there's a camera in there.
It's like when you take a, you know, you take a picture of someone taking a picture and you think it's funny.
If you're doing a colonoscopy and you get that far up, you know you've gone too far.
Exactly. Aaron, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
When both partners cannot kiss and make up, the relationship needs a big shake-up. As Facebook will tell, you'll choose your time well if you pick up Monday to...
break up.
Right. Journalist David McCandless cataloged the relationship status updates of more than 10,000 Facebook users over the course of a year and graphed the timestamps. Mondays were the big day for breakups, presumably because Monday follows two whole days spent with the person you're dating. Another interesting finding, a big spike in breakups on April Fool's Day. It's true. We don't know why. We assume it went like this. Honey, I'm not sleeping with your best friend. April Fool's! All right, here is your next limerick.
Can you hear me now? Still is a clever jest. With reception, my mountain endeavors blessed. There might be a fall, but not a dropped call. As Sherpas use cell phones on...
sweater vest.
That is...
I love that. I want to give it to you because it's such a great answer.
That is fabulous.
That's a better rhyme than our limericist came up with. That's really good. No, there's some clues there. The word Sherpa is a clue. Where might you find
it? Oh, Lord, it's Everest.
It is Everest, yes. As of this week, all of Mount Everest will have 3G network coverage from base camp to peak. So you can see it now. You're about to summit, but there's some obnoxious guy in front of you weaving all over the place talking on his phone. Hey, would you just hang up and climb, you yell? The good news is that you don't need a Bluetooth headset because on Everest, the phone will just freeze to your face. That's great. All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
Some voters are shaking their heads. Who'd have thought that a corpse beats the spread? Competition is stiff from beyond the great if. Some are winning, although they are...
dead.
Yes, the only thing worse than being trounced by your opponent in an election is being trounced by an opponent who isn't even alive. So think how Sharon Angle feels, you know what I mean? 4 deceased people won at the polls on Tuesday nationwide. One dead winner said voters were really taken with his message, which was, brains.
Wait, I'm sorry, dead people
Dead
won?
People, yeah. And in 4 Ooh. Cases, people who had died before the election still in the ballot still won.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. It's part of the new civility thing.
Yeah. It would be terrible to lose a debate to a dead guy.
Yeah. And an attack at it would be really rude.
Yeah.
My opponent is lifeless. My opponent has no personality.
I do nothing.
Yeah, if you think the country's coming apart, look at my opponent.
Carl, how did Aaron do in our quiz?
He had 3 correct answers, Peter, so Aaron wins our prize.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you. It's a treat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne Roberts and Mo Rocca are tied for first place, Peter. Each has 3 points. Charlie Pierce has 2.
All right. Charlie, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, the French Interior Minister revealed that one of the bombs sent from blank was defused just 17 minutes before it was supposed to go off.
Yemen.
Right. Calling it a monstrosity, new Speaker John Boehner vowed to dismantle the new blank law.
The healthcare law.
Right. Hours after President Obama joked about the drink at his news conference, 7-Eleven offered to provide the White House with blanks for a summit.
Slurpee!
Yes, about 2 million people watched the live telecast of Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart's rally in blank last weekend.
Washington.
Right. Recent analysis in the Wall Street Journal showed Fox Sports NFL pregame hosts spent more than 11% of their broadcast time blanking.
Talking.
Laughing at their own jokes. The shame, the shame. From this Tuesday until the end of the month, McDonald's will be selling its famous blank sandwiches at all U.S. locations.
McRib.
Yes. According to a British study released this week, the most dangerous drug is not heroin or crack, but blank.
Alcohol.
Right. Three Chicago teens attempted to skip out on a restaurant bill this week, but were thwarted when they drove away with blank.
The table.
No, they drove away with their waiter clinging to the roof of their car.
Wow!
It's like an action movie, except it stars a waiter. When the teens pulled a Dine and Dash Buffalo Wild Wings waiter, Peter Crotty raced after the car, pulled himself up on the roof, and dodged punches from the teens as they weaved through traffic running red lights. After finally alerting police, he raced back to the restaurant to finish his shift because he, quote, still had tables. He still had tables. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Chicago waiter. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had a great round, Peter. 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Charlie has the lead.
All right. We've flipped a coin, and Roxanne has elected to go third, so Mo, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, California voters rejected Prop 19, which would have legalized blank.
Marijuana.
Right. Qantas grounded its fleet of Airbus A380s after one of the jets had a blank blowout in Singapore.
An engine.
Right. On Thursday, eruptions at the volcano Mount Merapi in blank intensified.
Oh, eruptions of Mount Merapi in, I would say Hawaii.
It's, in fact, Indonesia. General Motors announced that by the end of 2010, it will close their blank division.
Is it Pontiac?
It is Pontiac. A small town in Gloucestershire, England, is planning to light its 350 homes with energy provided by blank.
Bread pudding.
Chicken poop. Chicken poop. Okay. A new study from Harvard University predicts that the U.S. blank rate will peak at 42%.
Unemployment?
Obesity. Obesity. On Thursday, after serving 8 months on a gun charge, rapper blank was released from prison.
Oh, my homie Lil Wayne.
Yes, school officials. We'll ask you to explain that after the show. School officials in Wakefield, Massachusetts are upset after members of the Wakefield track and field team began wearing shirts that said blank.
I'm a witch, dunk me.
No. The shirt said WTF. You know, for Wakefield track and field. Get it?
Funny.
The school superintendent had to ask what the phrase WTF means once he noticed the Snickers. And then, once she found out, she was immediately upset. She called up all the boosters to say, OMG, WTF! Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 11 points, but Charlie still has the lead with 14.
All right, then. So, how many does Roxanne need to win?
6 correct answers.
Here we go, Roxanne. I know you can do that. You've done it before. Here we go. Fill in the blank. With the Giants defeat of the Rangers Monday, the city of San Francisco has its first ever championship in the blank.
World Series.
Right. In a controversial speech on Thursday, Senator Mitch McConnell said the only way to advance the Republican agenda is to oust blank.
President Obama.
Right. In a 600-yard tunnel under the California-Mexico border, U.S. authorities discovered 30 tons of blank.
Of marijuana.
Right. Thousands of students chanting anti-U.S. slogans gathered at the U.S. Embassy to mark the 31st anniversary of the hostage crisis in blank.
Tehran.
Yes. Yeah. After twice being referred to as mate, a judge in Australia ordered the defendant to call him Sir or Your Honor, and the man replied blank.
Yes, mate.
Actually, he said, okay, mate. But then he was then sent to prison. On the debut episode of her highly anticipated reality show on the Discovery Channel, blank complains about the press invading her privacy.
Sarah Palin.
Right. Falling back happened a week later this year, as this weekend marks the official end of blank.
Daylight savings.
Right. Police in Nebraska arrested a teenager on Halloween for drunk driving after being tipped off by his erratic driving and his blank.
the drunk pumpkin in the window. No.
No, he was dressed as a breathalyzer. In a sign that he perhaps takes a method acting approach to Halloween, Matthew Naveen tried to get his blood alcohol level up to the 6.9% shown on the front of his breathalyzer costume. When the police arrested Naveen, there was an awkward moment when the actual breathalyzer was almost led away in handcuffs. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed 6 correct answers to win. She had 7 correct answers. So with 17 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Well done. Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict the first bipartisan agreement from the new Congress and the president. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Blythe Haga. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the first thing the new Congress can agree on? Mo Rocca.
Slush puppies are better than Slurpees.
Roxanne Roberts.
The Democrats and Republicans both believe that Sarah Palin would be a wonderful president of the Wasilla PTA.
And Charlie Pierce.
The Budget Reconciliation Act of 2059.
And if any of those things happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and Morocco. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.